The last Sunday in this month, Pastor is going to, his goal is to be here to preach. So I didn't check beforehand, and then when I noticed that it was in the bulletin, I hesitated to say it this morning, but it's here, so it's okay to say it. But that'll be great, and I hope continue to pray for Pastor and his strength. I think one of the next things is he has to get a CAT scan. I'll pray that that will get scheduled faster than usual. Our Lord and Savior and our God is a God who's always on time, but man's times are different. And we have to pray that God will change things around a little bit for Pastor so we can get some of this going. So continue to pray. Well, we will take what is written in the bulletin as the message for this evening. And in the next few weeks, I'll be preaching different sermons from the book of Ephesus. And our first message this evening is entitled, How Rich You Are. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read all 14 verses of the chapter and share a few thoughts with you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's a good focus verse. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administrative suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth, in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who has given us a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Paul has some rather long sentences, doesn't he? I thought that was a good example to follow, but my English teacher didn't think that was very good, especially since my sentences weren't structured as well. So, in looking at words and making sure my thoughts are organized with my notes, let's think a little bit about where we are and Paul and in the background of our story. You and I can get a present day focus on places around us. We're not close to Asia here, but we know a lot about because we have the computer, we have libraries and loads and loads of information, sometimes too much information, but we have access to many things. And then along with that, our personal travels help us see and understand a little bit more about populations. We hear Asia, the word itself, we think of a world's population, and among the world's population, Asia as a whole We would call the metro Montreal area about 5 million people. So if we call the metro Asia, if I could put it that way, is one of the world's largest populations. It's the largest continent with 17 million miles of land mass, home to 60% of the population of present day, probably back in the day as well. In the Bible, Turkey was a part of Asia at that time. During this time, the Greeks settled there. There was Latin, there was Rome conquered it. It became a trading center, a trading city, quite a city actually. Ephesus. It was populous, it was commercial, it was religious. It was wealthy, and some may have even called it luxurious. Paul visited Ephesus to look over for future church planting. And we are beginning a study on Ephesus to get some insight from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. So, Lord willing, we'll study through this letter of Paul's in the next few weeks, Sunday evenings. I may switch it around some to keep you guessing, but probably mostly Sunday evenings. I read somewhere a funny cartoon. It showed a pompous lawyer reading a client's last will and testament in the cartoon drawing. And he was reading it to a group of greedy relatives, right? The caption reads, "I, John Jones, being of sound mind and body, spent it all. Therefore, you have nothing to inherit." When Jesus wrote his last will and testament for the church, he made it possible for us to share his spiritual blessings and spiritual riches. Instead of spending it all, he paid it all so that you and I will have these riches. And just like we mentioned this morning in the message, his death on the cross and his resurrection make it possible for us to be saved. He wrote us into his will, then died so the will would be enforced. Then he rose again that he might become the heavenly lawyer to make sure the terms of the will were correctly followed. In this long sentence that Paul wrote, particularly in these verses, Paul names a few of the blessings that make up our spiritual wealth. Let's consider, first of all, the blessings from God the Father, verses 4 through 6. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, the verse starts to say. He has chosen us. Don't be shocked, Pastor. I'm not going to teach on a whole doctrinal dissertation on election. A doctrine that has confused some and confounded many. But the truth is, God knows what he's doing, and he chooses. When Paul was on his journey, he left Aquila and Priscilla behind to prepare on his third journey. He spent several years working there. He even wrote from jail. And these words that he touches on, we will touch on as well. When you try to explain the doctrine of election, you might blow your mind. But don't explain it away because you might also lose your soul. The fact that salvation begins with God and not with man, all Christians must agree. John 15:16 says, "Ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you." The lost sinner, left to his own ways, does not seek God. Romans chapter 3 reminds us that God, in his love, seeks the sinner. Also in Luke 19:10. By the way, I may touch quite a few verses, so if you'd like to reference those, jot them down and look them up later in your own study. He chose us in Christ and not in ourselves. He chose us for a purpose, to be holy and without blame. Question comes, some people might ask, does a sinner respond to God against his own will? No, he responds because God's grace makes him willing to respond. The mystery of divine sovereignty and human responsibility will never be solved in this life. We'll have to sit down and let the Lord teach us when we get there. Both are taught in the Bible, both are true, and both are essential. But remember these things about him. A, he has accepted us. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. We cannot make ourselves acceptable to God, right? But he, by his grace, makes us accepted in Christ. This is our eternal position, which will never change. He has accepted us. That was A. B, he has redeemed us. C, he has forgiven us. Each person of the Godhead all work together to make possible our salvation. But each person has a special ministry to perform, a special spiritual deposit, let's say, to make in our lives. God the Son, he has redeemed us. To redeem means to purchase and set free by paying a price. I mentioned this morning the pearl of great price. It's a great illustration. The price, as also mentioned this morning, was Jesus' own blood. 1 Peter 1:18 talks about that. This means we are free from the law. Galatians 5:1. Free from slavery to sin, Romans 6, as well as free from the power of Satan and the world, Galatians 1:4 and Colossians 1:13 and 14. If we were slaves, we would definitely be poor. But because we are sons, we are rich. We mentioned A, B, and I didn't say a whole lot about C. He has forgiven us. The word forgive means to carry away. Christ died to carry away our sins so that they might never be seen again. 1 John 1:29, Psalm 103:12. And we all know who it is that keeps reminding us of our sins and our past. That's the devil, right? The Ephesians heard the gospel and discovered it was for them, verse 13 says, your salvation. Even though the Bible teaches election, it also announces that we are to go into all the world and preach to every creature, Mark 16:15. We don't discuss election with the unsaved. We just announce the truth of the gospel and invite people to trust Christ, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. God ordains the preaching of the gospel in the power of the Spirit. What is the sealing of the Holy Spirit? It speaks of a finished transaction. Even today, legal documents are processed that are stamped with official seals. The Holy Spirit's sealing also implies ownership. God has put his seal upon us because he has purchased us to be his own. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. It also means security and protection. I kind of like the idea of being secure and protected by God, don't you? Believers belong to God and we are safe. We are protected because we are part of the finished transaction. According to John 14, 16, and 17, the Holy Spirit abides with the believer forever. We can grieve the Holy Spirit and we can lose the blessings of the ministry in us, but he does not leave us. He has also given us an earnest. What does that mean? An earnest. A fascinating word. In Paul's day, it meant the down payment to a guarantee, the final purchase of some commodity or piece of property. Even today, we hear it in real estate. An agent talks about earnest money. Right, Brother Bruce? The Holy Spirit is God's first installment to the guarantee of his children that he will finish his work and eventually bring them to glory. But the word translated earnest also means engagement or something like engagement ring. In Greece today, you would find this word being used that way. But after all, isn't an engagement ring a simple assurance that the promises made will be kept? In our fallible world, we don't always do it, but that's what the ring symbolizes. Our relationship to God through Christ is not a commercial one, but a personal experience of love. He's the bridegroom, and his church is the bride. He will come, we're told in the scripture, to claim us because of his promise. And his spirit is the engagement. What greater assistance could we want? We've examined a few basics in the Bible doctrines in this message, all on the theme of riches of Christ. We should review what the verses teach us. Consider a couple more thoughts. Number one, true riches come from God. It's a source of great encouragement to know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all working on my behalf to make me rich, not in this worldly sense. God not only, as verse 3 says, richly all made us all things to enjoy, but he gave us eternal riches without which all other wealth is valueless. In Christ, we have the things that money can't buy. We enjoy the gifts because we know and love the giver of the gifts. True riches come from God, but also, secondly, all of these riches come by God's grace and for his glory. Do you notice after each section in verses 4 through 14, especially, Paul has added the purpose behind these gifts? Why has God the Father chosen us, adopted us, and accepted us? Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Why has the Son redeemed us, forgiven us, revealed God's will to us, and made us a part of God's inheritance? Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Why has God the Spirit sealed us and become the guarantee of our future blessing? Verse 14 says, unto the praise of his glory. God is not saving souls because he pities them, or just wants to rescue souls from eternal judgment. But God's main purpose is that he might be glorified. We've talked about true riches coming from God. Secondly, we talked about these riches that come by God's grace and by God's glory. Thirdly, these riches are only the beginning. There's always more spiritual wealth to claim as we walk with God. The Bible is our guidebook. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. As we search the word, we learn more and more about the riches we have in Christ. By faith, we can claim God's promises and draw upon his limitless wealth to every need that we may face. I challenge you to remember, particularly Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3's verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We'll develop this a little bit more in the days to come. Let me give you a few titles that I've chosen as I've prepared the messages beforehand. Today was How Rich You Are. Next week, Read the Bank Book. The next one, Get Out of the Graveyard. The next one, The Great Peace Mission, and so on and so forth. So I trust the Lord will use this to work and speak to our hearts. But let's look at, in closing, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and quote it together. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just contemplate that verse. Break down every little word. It says so much. And I like those every spiritual blessing in heavenly. It didn't say in a heavenly place, but in heavenly places in Christ. The blessed thing as a Christian is to know that as far as God is concerned, once we've accepted Him, we're already sitting with Him. We're already blessed to be in heavenly places. So He leaves us here until He's ready to take us home so that we can be a witness for Him. Let us be challenged with a daily opportunity of witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ to bring glory to His name. Let's bow in a word of prayer and sing our closing song right after. Father, we thank you for the truth of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. You are already blessed. It's not necessary that we be the ones to bless you for who you are, but you do choose to take that and accept it. We are privileged that we can receive from you and that we can have the advantage of living in Christ. And you give us the blessing of, until you take us home, for us to have the blessing of the places of spiritual blessing as we live and move about. Lord, teach us more about what that means. Thank you for your word and for the letter that we have that you preserved that we could read in our day and time of the Word of God. Bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray.